The Entrepreneur's Library, episode 185.
Welcome to The Entrepreneur's Library,
the only book-centric podcast that reviews all the top-selling business books and shares authors' perspective firsthand. This is your resource to finding the next great book
that will enable you to grow personally and professionally.
Welcome your host, Wade Danielson.
Welcome back to the EL. Today we have Jacques Basudel, author of The Practitioner's Guide to Product Management. Welcome, Jacques, and thank you for joining us on the Entrepreneur's Library.
Thanks, Wade. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Before we take a deep dive into your book, will you take just a moment to introduce yourself? Tell us just a little bit about you personally.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jacques Basudel. I've been a product manager for over a decade and working in software for a few years longer. Yeah, I guess I've worked in a variety of different companies over the years, ranging from small startups through to kind of huge multinational corporates, and really kind of learned a great deal as I've been going along. And more recently, over the last couple of years, I decided to branch out on my own, and I'm now running my own product management consultancy called Product People. And so that's given me an opportunity really to go and work with lots of different companies in many different markets, different styles of working. And again, it's kind of given me an opportunity to really see if what I know about product management can be applied in all these different places and all these different areas. So again, it's really a learning exercise for me as well.
Excellent. So first off, thank you for sharing that. And now let's jump right into your book, The Practitioner's Guide to Product Management, which was made available for purchase not that long ago, actually January 6, 2015. So yes. We're coming up on, I guess 2 months here fairly shortly. So Jacques, we're going to move quickly, but we're going to cover the top questions that our future reader and listener today would like to get answered. And the first one is, what was the inspiration behind writing The Practitioner's Guide to Product Management?
So that's a really good question. I think the real reason was, I think it was the book I wanted most myself when I was starting out in product management, by which I mean most of the books that were available kind of told you about how to go about doing it, but it didn't really tell you what it was really like. And so it was kind of a way for me to hopefully tell a story for other people as well that would allow them to understand from someone who's been through that process what it really means to be a product manager and how you get there and what's good about it and what's bad about it and all the kind of stuff that you don't really ever get a chance to learn about until you've actually been thrown in the deep end and you're doing it for yourself.
What would you say makes your book different from others regarding the same or similar topic?
So I think the main difference is that with very few exceptions, most product management books are telling you about the process. They're telling you about the methodology or providing a framework about how you actually go about being a product manager. And, you know, you must do this, you must do that, and you have to use this template, and you have to do it in this particular way. And, you know, whilst there's value in those kind of books, I also think that there was a need to kind of bring a book into the mix that was slightly different in the approach. So telling more about the realities of product management and more about the people rather than the process. So really, I think the book focuses more about kind of the human element to product management rather than necessarily the process element.
And Jack, how did you construct the book, or how would you suggest the reader engage with it? Is this one that they can jump in and out of as they need to pull information, or did you really design it to be read from front to back?
So whilst it does have a kind of narrative going through, it tends to be that each chapter is kind of self-contained. So really what you can do is, if you want to, you can read the 5 chapters in different orders if you wish to. So it's not too much of a problem, but each chapter is kind of tells a story in itself. And so, you know, there's rather than kind of diving into little sort of particular bits within the chapters, you can kind of get a decent coherent story from the chapters themselves.
Excellent. So Jacques, now that we know a little bit of the background, the purpose behind the book, let's take a deep dive into the content itself. So we take the next, 5 to 8 minutes and really let the future reader know what they can expect to get out of your book?
Yeah, certainly. Okay. So, right. So let's start at the beginning, I guess. So really the purpose of the first chapter is to kind of think about, you know, understanding what product management is and how you kind of understand what it involves. And so really it's thinking about this concept of balancing what are called these 3 rings. And it kind of refers to this diagram a great product manager and a good friend of mine, Martin Erickson, came up with, which kind of divides up the practice of product management to kind of 3 main areas: user experience, technology, and the business. And right there in the center of it all, kind of in the eye of the maelstrom, as it were, is kind of the product manager. And so really what that means is that you're kind of balancing the varying different needs of the user experience. So that's the outside world, you know, the people out there, their needs, their problems, and the things you're trying to solve with the needs of the business and the aspirations of the organization that, you know, is creating the product. And then also kind of balancing that with the technology, the people who are building the technology and creating and shaping that product. And so, you know, it's kind of difficult to achieve balance between those three areas, not just in your own experience to get to being a product manager right there in the middle, but also because each of those different areas are kind of pulling you in different directions. And that's kind of another of the challenges of kind of getting everyone to work in the same direction and set a vision for the product and get everyone aligned to it. So, you know, that's kind of the main thing of like almost describing what on earth product management is to begin with, because it's one of those things where quite a lot of people have heard about it, but not necessarily understood what it really means and actually started to understand what the job entails. And so then we talk a little bit more about, you know, how product management evolved and how it started out at Procter & Gamble and then has kind of evolved over the last 60 or 70 years to where we are now, where now you've got kind of a more holistic, evidence-led and user-centric approach to product management than perhaps was in the past. And then with that is understanding that people's individual paths into product management aren't necessarily direct. I mean, you don't do a university degree or something at a high school which teaches you how to be a product manager, but rather you kind of gain all these experiences as you go through lots of different roles and lots of different jobs, and then you gradually find yourself in a position where you yourself have achieved that balance between, you know, the user's technology and the business side of things. And so you yourself now are ready to become a product manager. But, you know, when it comes down to it, product management is really all about the fundamentals of understanding users and their problems and being able to solve them with a viable, sustainable, profitable product. That kind of takes us into the whole thing about checking, you know, that you're on the right track. And so there's this great whole story about the story of the Segway, which, if you're not familiar with it, is the kind of the self-balancing two-wheeled scooter, which, you know, most people you see in sort of shopping malls or, you know, on adventure trails or that kind of thing. And the thing about the Segway was that it was really based on a fundamental assumption. In fact, it was like $100 million worth of assumption, which was, first of all, that everyone would want one. They didn't. And second of all, that it would be illegal to ride, which was such a fundamental problem when it was illegal to ride in 32 states when it was first launched. So, you know, this whole thing about checking your assumptions and making sure that you find out the obvious things about your product viability before you kind of launch into the expensive part of building the thing is really, really important. So we talk about kind of the problems and the questions that you need to ask about whether it's something that this problem that you've identified is actually worth solving, whether there's a market for it, and indeed whether there's people, real people within that market are actually going to buy the product. So we kind of explore that and then talk about the counterpoint to that, which is all these startups that think a bit like the Field of Dreams, the Kevin Costner film, you know, if we build it, they will come, the customers will come and buy our product just because our product exists. And of course, you know, that's complete nonsense. You know, people have to need your product. It has to be fulfilling some kind of, you know, solution to their problems. Otherwise, there's simply going to be no motivation for them to buy it. And so there's lots of ways in which you can actually test out this kind of, these assumptions you have to make sure that you are on the right track before you go and build a thing and realize that you've built something that nobody needs. So that's kind of the first obvious bits of kind of how do you make sure you're building the right thing. But then we turn from the products and kind of the market and the outside world a bit more inwards to the organization itself. Because as you're kind of getting the feel, actually, product management is not so much about managing products. I mean, obviously it is, but it's actually about managing the people involved in your products. And so the people who work with you, the specialists across all these different functions like sales and marketing and design and development, all these people are really intimately involved in making your product happen, making it a success. And so really it's about understanding and empathizing with where they're coming from and how you can speak to them in their own languages. And so we kind of go through a variety of these different groups of people that you'll be most likely to be working with. So we talk about developers and, you know, how they're kind of miracle workers. They have to create from your ideas and your product vision the actual tangible thing And that's a real skill. But, you know, also they can be quite hard work sometimes. So you have to learn how to work with them well and understand kind of what makes them tick. Then similarly, you're talking about, you know, you're working with designers. These are the people that both create the visual elements as well as the usability of the product, how intuitive it is to work. And generally speaking, they're pretty well aligned with product managers because, you know, you're all interested in the needs of the users. But they can also go off and be lost in the wonder of their own design and, you know, can occasionally disappear off down rabbit, you know, down rabbit holes and so on. So again, the product manager, you have to work with them to get the best out of them and keep them on track and make sure that you're all focusing back on what is possible and practical within the time you have available. And then we talk about marketing, we talk about sales and, you know, what tough jobs they have and understanding that they each have their own interesting quirks. You have to work with them. You have to understand what they need and how you can work with them, how to get the best from them. So that's really important to understand that you're working with all these different specialists, and without them, you'd never be able to achieve the products you have. You can't do it by yourself. So that's really important to remember. And then it's thinking about success and failure. So even if you do all the right things and even if you do everything exactly right, there's still always that chance that your product won't succeed. And there's a number of things you can do to increase your chance of success, but it doesn't necessarily assure success. So we talk a bit about, you know, how you have to make sure the whole product is ready, is coordinated, the launch is effective. You have to make sure that information is being spread around the organization, the right information to the right people at the right time, making sure you learn about what succeeds, what doesn't, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when it boils down to it, it's really about learning. It's about really remembering that you don't know everything up front. You can't survive on guesswork. So you've got to be continually learning in the way you evolve your product, in the way you learn from the market. And it's really that kind of move towards agile ways of doing product management that facilitate and provide more opportunities to learn as you go along. And then as we're kind of rounding out the book, the last thing we really cover is time management, which is one of these things where one of these soft skills that is so important because you are juggling all these different things and spinning, keeping all these plates spinning in the air. And you need to be able to organize yourself, but it's not necessarily something you're born with. And so I kind of talk about the fact that actually myself, I'm actually usually quite disorganized. I'm not very good at managing my time. And it's something I've had to learn and get a lot better at over time. Similarly, dealing with, you know, distractions and the context switching and about how multitasking doesn't actually work as an approach because your brain isn't wired up that way. And then for me, again, a really personal thing about procrastination, it's really difficult sometimes to get started on something unless maybe you've set yourself a deadline or promised it to someone, and just really recognizing what sets you off down that path of procrastination, how you can avoid it so you can actually get stuff done when you need to. I guess to finish off as a kind of epilogue, it was almost thinking about what success means. And one of the things that occurred to me is that quite a lot of product managers tend to get assessed by how successful their products are. So it's very difficult to separate the product manager from the products they create. And I kind of challenge that a bit and say, well, you know, maybe there's a way to assess what success looks like as for the product manager as a person as well. But really, you know, without ruining the ending of the book, there's some fundamental lessons about achieving balance between work and life and all these different aspects, which was one of the hardest lessons I learned over the course of becoming a product manager. And so I really wanted to finish in a way saying, if this book is about product management and encourages you to get into product management, remember that product management isn't your life. It is merely the means to an end to go and get the money that will allow you to go off and do the stuff that really matters in life. So ultimately, you know, the product isn't your baby and a job is just a job. So just keep everything in perspective and try not to get too stressed out by the whole endeavor. And that's really kind of the book in a nutshell.
Jock, you did a fantastic job of taking us through the book and you covered a lot of different ideas. And that's where I think this next question is so relevant, and that we're asking, if the reader could only take away one concept, principle, or action item out of everything you just discussed with us, basically your entire book, what would you want that to be?
I think first and foremost, it has to be empathy. The ability to put yourself as a product manager into the shoes of your users, your customers, the people in your organization that help you create this fantastic product, and understanding what their needs are over yours, because ultimately you're not going to be the target market. You're not going to be the customer for this product. So really what you think is irrelevant. Your opinions aren't the main thing, which is why it's so important to be able to empathize, to be able to understand and see things from the perspective of all these other people you're dealing with.
Jacques, do you have a favorite quote from your book? I know that's kind of an odd question, but something that you wrote that you think might impact the listener today, and also will you share briefly what it means to you?
Yeah, there's one particular bit. So one of the things when I'm talking about the different groups of people you work with to actually create the product are designers. And for me, designers are, you know, design, I don't have a creative design bone in my body. And so I think design in general is, good design is magic. And so when I'm talking about what a good designer can do, I use this quote here, which is, good designers can take the complex and make it profoundly simple. Great designers will also stir your soul and bewitch you with the beauty of their design. And that was one of the things that, you know, really struck me when working with really good designers, is that they will just cut through the complexity of the thing you're trying to create and bring it back down to this profound simplicity that still has all the complexity behind it, but makes it so easy to use and so easy to understand for the customers.
Excellent. Well, Jacques, so people can reflect on that a little bit more, we'll put that quote and explanation in the show notes at theelpodcast.com. And so now we have obviously as a book-centric podcast, we have to ask for a book recommendation, and not any recommendation. We're asking for the recommendation. So if there's only one book you could recommend our listeners based on the way that's impacted your life and created a lifestyle or a paradigm shift, what book would you suggest?
Huh. So it may be an odd choice. It's not necessarily an entrepreneurial book, but I think from a life perspective, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, I think, is one of the books that's fundamentally changed my view on bureaucracy and humor and all those kind of things. And it's one of those books that I've always kept coming back to. I think if maybe you'll let me cheat a little bit, I think in terms of a business book, Crossing the Chasm by Geoffrey Moore, I think, is the seminal one to start with if you're thinking about building products or starting a business.
No, that's fantastic. And you know what? We've actually had that first one that you're talking about, The Hitchhiker's Guide. We've had that one referenced before. So, and I'm glad because I didn't want to put a stipulation on it that it had to be an entrepreneur book. So thank you for sharing both of those. And Jacques, before you depart, can you recommend the best way for our listeners to not only get more information on you, but also get more information on your book, The Practitioner's Guide to Product Management?
Yes, if you want to read more, I write a blog called I Manage Products, and that's at imanageproducts.uk. So that's where you can see what I've been writing more recently. If you want more information about the book, it's available in a variety of places, but probably the easiest way is to grab it from Amazon. If you search either for the title or my name, if you can spell it, then you'll be able to find it there.
Perfect. Well, Jacques, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your book with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks again for listening in today. If you'd like more information on Jacques or his book, The Practitioner's Guide to Product Management, check out the show notes at theelpodcast.com. And if you want an opportunity to win the book, visit the same site, theelpodcast.com, and become a VIP.
Looking for your next book idea?
Head over to theelpodcast.com,
where Wade shares his amazing resource, the top 10 business books recommended by over 500 entrepreneurs, with you for free.
That's theelpodcast.com.
Till the next time, keep it on the EL.